Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the NBA Morning Deuce for Thursday, March 18th. For the second time. That's right. We had some recording issues. That's what happens in the podcast business, but we're getting it right. At least last time we only recorded for what? 2 minutes before we decided, hey, this ain't going to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start over.
Couldn't see your smiling face. I could barely hear you. It wasn't great, but we're good.
Yeah, it was a weird, but I figured it out. We got it figured out and we are here. You didn't even need to know that, but we like to be honest with the deucers. So we let you know what's going on because you did. There may have been some gold in there that you missed. And now we'll never know because everything was freezing. But we are here and we have a loaded show because there's a lot of basketball games tonight, some good games. But also, we can officially say, and this is something I said on the last record for sure. I definitely said this. This is like the official start of trade season. Now, today, two trades in the NBA that we will talk about. Three of the four teams that were involved in the trades played tonight. So we'll get right into it. And we'll start with the biggest trade and probably the biggest game of the night. Right?
The weirdest game.
Well, biggest game because it was probably the biggest win for the team that won all year. Because they really haven't beaten a ton of good teams this year. But we'll start with the trade, which was Houston traded PJ Tucker to the Milwaukee Bucks, along with Rodion Krook, who they acquired and did not play at all in the James Harden trade. And they send Milwaukee's 2022 first round pick back to Milwaukee. They get DJ Augustine, DJ Wilson, loading up on DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it's interesting, where I think ultimately Houston could win this trade, depending on what happens over the next couple of years, a 2023 unprotected first round pick, which I think is an interesting thing we don't have to keep an eye on it because it's whatever. But before we even talk about Milwaukee, if you're Houston, the way this league changes, that's two full seasons away. Not saying Milwaukee's not a playoff team in 2 years, but what if somehow Giannis gets hurt or they start to blow things up because they lose in the first round again? And they're never going to be the worst team in the league, but what if they fall out of the playoffs in that 2023 year and it's a lottery? I mean, that's a great move for them for a 35-year-old expiring contract that wasn't ever going to play for them again anyways. I think Houston wins the deal. Not that PJ Tucker is very good and every team wanted him, but I think it could potentially sway the deal in their favor down the line.
It could, just because it's the unprotected, like you said. The picks were really confusing. I had to like reread the trade a bunch of times to fully understand what was going on. But didn't Houston also send one of the Bucks picks back to them at one point?
That's what I said.
Okay, but so
Houston sends back Milwaukee's 2022 first round pick to them.
I thought there was a 2021 pick involved as well, but maybe I'm misremembering what Woj said.
There's a pick swap that it says the Rockets also get the right to swap its second round pick for Milwaukee's first round pick unless it falls 1 through 9.
Okay, so Milwaukee probably moves back a little bit. All right.
So I believe that means the Rockets get Milwaukee's first round pick this year.
Right, unless something absolutely outrageous happens.
It can't. It's impossible. They're going to make the playoffs, so they can't get a top 9 pick.
Yeah, so very, very unlikely, yeah.
It's impossible.
I mean,
they'd have to get
within the realm.
They would have to get completely lumberjacked the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah, they would. I really like PJ Tucker going to the Bucks because, like you said, they're loading up to try to stop the Nets. But whenever you can get an unprotected pick when you're Houston and your future is so confusing moving forward, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, the Rockets now, it says, will likely because of the chance of them somehow falling into the bottom 9, the Rockets now likely own 3 first-round picks in the 2021 draft, including, you got to imagine, a top 3 pick because they, you know.
Yeah, unless they get completely boned in the lottery somehow.
Yeah, but I think even when you lose X amount of games, you can only fall so far.
Yeah.
Like I think if you end up with the second or first or second worst, then the furthest you could fall is like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Something.
They still don't even seem to be on an 18 game losing streak and still not have the worst record in the league. Like that's absurd.
Pretty crazy. So the PJ Tucker thing is interesting, right? Because when I saw that he got traded to Milwaukee, I love PJ Tucker. I still think he has so much to offer, even at 35, because, you know, he didn't play a ton early in his career and he's never been like a go-to guy. So it's not like he has a ton of wear and tear on him. He still has years left. You could tell he could still play. But I just felt like of the teams that were vying for him in the East, they were the team that he least makes that much better, if that makes sense. Like, I thought if he went to Boston, Miami, or Brooklyn, he is an absolute game changer for any of those teams because they all just desperately need front court help. And not that Milwaukee doesn't need front court help, but they're pretty set in their front court. This does not address Milwaukee's by far biggest issue, which is their offense is just not that great. And particularly at end of games, they are going to struggle. This doesn't address that. It helps them become a much more of a switching team, which is what they're going to have to do against Brooklyn, because now they can put PJ Tucker back at the 5. They can either bring Brook Lopez off the bench, or, you know, they could sort of go matchup wise, depending on who they play. Like if they play Philly, they can start Brook Lopez. They play Brooklyn, they can start PJ Tucker, you know, and be able to switch 1 through 5. So it's a good, and he's a great 3-point shooter from the corners. So they can just stick him in the corner on offense and not have to worry about him at all if they so choose. But I thought he would have been such a bigger impact for a team like Boston or Miami and even Brooklyn. Brooklyn just doesn't have a ton of front court help right now.
Yeah, it kind of surprises me. Houston wasn't able to get maybe a little bit more back.
Now that I realize what this pick swap is, they got 2 first round picks out of this.
Mm-hmm.
They basically turned Tucker and Milwaukee's 2022 pick that they sent back to them into 2 first round picks. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And the way Woj put it, like they kind of move up a few picks because you got to assume their second round pick this year is going to be very high and the Bucks first round pick is going to be toward the back end. So like,
yeah, that's a good point.
They move up a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, if you're the Bucks, I mean, you're being honest with yourself and you're like, we're nowhere close to the Nets right now.
So, I don't think that's what they think at all. I don't think they think they're nowhere close. I mean, they're good. They're only, you know, they're like a game back of them. I don't think they think that. I don't think any look, I don't think any team goes into, especially a team that has the back-to-back MVP and is at the top of their conference and playing very good basketball, is saying we're nowhere close. I think everybody sees that, how hard it's going to be to guard that team, and you want to get as many players as you can get to be a switching team. But I have to disagree with you there that they think they're nowhere close.
Yeah, I guess so. So yeah, great trade. In my opinion, for the Bucks, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you're entitled to that opinion. It's just, come on, that I don't think any team is saying we're nowhere close, unless, I mean, other than like Detroit or teams that have that really are nowhere close.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you think Philly's saying that?
They should be.
Well, I know what, like, outside looking in, but if you're in that locker room and you have the best record, you're not looking at it saying we can't beat them. So it's going to be tough. That's why we have to get better. But I would say Brooklyn's probably looking at their roster saying we could probably use some players too. That's why they went and got Blake Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Milwaukee played Philly tonight. And for what, 40 minutes of this game or so, Milwaukee looked horrendous.
Well, they scored 31 points in the first half, so it's just absolutely insane to look at this final score.
Yeah, they were terrible. They were terrible in the first half.
One for 17 from three at one point. It's just it's a horrible loss for the Sixers, just given how buried you had the Bucks. It's really weird. The whole game had a weird feel to it. It was ugly the whole way through. You know, I was watching the local broadcast and the post game started with, you know, that's one of the strangest games we've seen in a long time. It was just weird the whole way through, but Bucks got it done in overtime because they turned their shooting around. Really, they finished what they finished. Oh man, they only had 9 3 pointers the whole game, which is remarkable. But
yeah, they, no scoring off their bench, which, I mean, I guess they traded three of their bench players, but I don't think two of them ever play.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy thing is, this is probably, and this is without Embiid, this is probably like one of their signature wins this year. Milwaukee's won a lot of games, but they haven't won a lot of games against like top level teams, I don't think.
No, that's kind of their thing. They just crush bad teams and then usually struggle against good teams. It's definitely a marquee win given how much they came back by and how bad they were playing. Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. For your team, Ben Simmons, not happy at the end of the game, huh? Sixers fan.
Yeah, it's hard to bash on him too much just because he has been more aggressive, which is like my biggest complaint about the guy in general. But this kind of is the Ben Simmons I'm used to seeing against a good defensive team. It's just good defensive teams know how to kind of make him not a factor. And the 7 turnovers went a long way towards his comeback. And just to really piss me off, Simmons hit a 3 with 1 second left to make it like in a 5-point game, he pulls up for 3 and it looks really nice and goes in.
Yeah. I mean, I think looking at this game and looking at the matchup, if Philly does run up against this team in the playoffs, it's gotta be all Embiid because Tobias Harris, I mean, just not a good game, 8 for 23. And I'm sure I didn't watch the whole game, but I'm sure Giannis was guarding him for a good portion of it. And Middleton, like they just, when they're locked in, they have a good defensive team and it's just going to get better now that they can switch with PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
So
the other thing from this game was Seth Curry turned his ankle. And as soon as he left the game, Sixers offense went to shit. So if Curry misses extended time and Embiid misses extended time, there could be a losing streak or like some struggles ahead until they get him back, which is crazy that they depend on him so much, but
yeah,
pretty ugly turn.
But look, it's a tough loss for Philly because it looked like they were going to dominate Milwaukee because of how bad Milwaukee played. But ultimately, you factor Seth Curry, the Seth Curry thing in with Joel Embiid being hurt. This team was on a roll without Joel Embiid. Like, they're bound to lose a game.
Yeah.
It has had to happen at some point.
Yeah. It was just the way it went down. I mean, so the 31 points Milwaukee scored in the first half was because they couldn't do any, like, they were just playing horrible. So it's like, okay, maybe we capitalize on that, especially when seeding. I mean, we know the top of the East is going to be tight. I don't know. I have a really bad taste in my mouth after that second half debacle.
Yeah, this was a weird night in general for the Eastern Conference. A lot of teams getting ham-fisted. And
a couple of them here, yeah.
And so I lost tonight, even though, yeah, the seeding up at the top is going to be interesting. I guess for those top three teams, it's just going to probably be down to the wire. It would be really tough. I can't imagine Miami or any of the teams below Miami, who's four right now, kept making up of five games. I mean, I guess they could, but I don't see all three of those teams, Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, falling off substantially. So Miami, who we're about to talk about, or one of these other teams would have to be on such an absurd run, like Atlanta is right now, but I don't know that that lasts either, you know? So speaking of Miami, that's where the other trade was today. Miami traded Myers Leonard. Farewell. He will not play in the NBA this year, because I believe OKC's plan is to just not either waive him or let him go. They traded Myers Leonard and Sam Presti's favorite thing in the world, a second round pick.
You think he likes them more than first rounders?
I think, well, he just loves picks.
He loves them. He's crazy about them.
For a man who has not played basketball in quite some time, Trevor Ariza. A man who a lot of people probably thought, Trevor Ariza plays basketball in the NBA still? For those who have forgotten, Trevor Ariza opted out of the bubble last year because he, and if you can check this while I'm saying it, just to make sure I'm not wrong, he was having a custody battle with it over his child, and he opted out so he could spend time with his kid. And then he got moved in the offseason to OKC and just hasn't played for OKC, I believe, potentially to stay with his kid. And then he's been down in Miami recently, actually, for the past few months, I guess, working out with Stan Remy, who is one of the big workout guys down here in Miami.
There's also, I'm looking at the custody thing. It looks accurate, but there's also like allegations of abuse and stuff that have gotten thrown away. So something very confusing happened in his personal life last year.
Yeah, but I think the reason at least that he gave for opting out was he was going through the custody battle and he wanted to spend time with his kid because they weren't sure what was going to happen and whatever. Yeah. So anyways, that's all to say this, he has not played basketball in over a year, I guess, like NBA basketball, because they had the stoppage and then he didn't go to the bubble. And then now he hasn't played this year. So only giving up Myers Leonard and a second round pick is great for Miami, because it gives them the flexibility now with, they still have multiple expiring contracts and players that they can move. So they still have the flexibility to potentially go do something else, but we'll just have to see. I mean, I like the deal for Miami because Ariza, if he's right and healthy and in shape, essentially is a much better version of what you were hoping Mo Harkless would give you. So
with playoff experience, championship experience,
and he's a proven shooter in the NBA. Like, Mo Harkless is a streak, has had some years where he could shoot the ball, but Ariza is a three. He's like the legit definition of 3-and-D guy. And that would give them the flexibility to put him in the starting lineup at the four, move Kelly Olynyk to the bench. So we got to see. I mean, I think it's a good deal for Miami because they didn't give up much. They get rid of Myers Leonard, which they were going to have to do at some point, whether they waived him or traded him. So, and they only give up a second round pick. It's a good deal. And now they wait to see. Now it also gives them the flexibility to say, like, we don't have to rush to make a trade. We could wait to see if someone gets bought out. And if no one gets bought out, we don't make a trade, then we're one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now until tonight. Like, we just ride it out and see what we can do in the East.
Yeah, it's truly like they're just adding something with upside, because we knew Myers Leonard wasn't going to play. So
And it's what they need. It's what they desperately needed with upside position. Is a stretch, potentially a stretch, small stretch four who can switch and guard every position other than like a real five. So, and look, the way Miami played tonight against Memphis, they desperately need that punch. They need him to come in and be right. Because
if it's not from him, they need to do another move. Because
Miami lost to Memphis 89-85. That is their sixth game. Anyway, I talk about on this show and the other show all the time about how they lead the league in wins, holding their opponent under 100 points. They also lead the league in losses, scoring 85 points or less. So the offense is arguably just as bad as the defense. The defense has just been a little bit better and so elite that they've been winning a ton of games. But this is glaring. And you look at this, 8 of 34 from three. They just continue to jack up those threes, even though they are not making any of them. Kelly Olynyk, who has actually been one of their better offensive players as of late, got in foul trouble, and this team just fell apart, which is very concerning if your team is not playing well without Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, and I mean, I see Princess Achiuwa got 10 minutes. Is that because of the foul trouble, I'm assuming?
What'd you call him?
Oh, I do that all the time. Precious Achiuwa.
What'd you call him?
I call her Princess Achiuwa. I've done that before, not on the show, but I've definitely done that before.
Why?
I don't know. They're similar sounding, but
yeah, but very Princess different. Sounds like you're like insulting him.
It does, yeah. Well, all right, I got that. If he needs to be insulted later, I've got that in the bag. Precious Achiuwa had 10 minutes tonight. Is that because of the foul trouble? Or
like, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's because of the foul trouble, because last game he didn't play.
Yeah, and his minutes have been super limited, I thought, recently.
He doesn't bring a whole lot right now. Mm-hmm. He's literally become just like an energy guy. He still has a lot. He is obviously still has huge upside, but he's not good. The big thing, and I mentioned this before the show, and I'm going to go through these tweets because I want you to judge whether I twittered this dude so hard tonight on Heat Twitter. Okay. So I tweeted this out during the game. I said, I think the Heat are in a good enough spot where they can rest guys here and there if necessary. It might be time for Goran Dragic to take a night off for maintenance. This is the third. This was after the first half. So this is the first game in a row where he looks flat on offense. He's now 3 of 21 from the field, 1 of 11 from three over the past 10 quarters. It didn't get much better in the second half. He ended up 2 of 11 from the field, 0 of 4. So that makes him, I want to say, what was the numbers that I had? 3 of 21. So I think that makes him now 4 of 26 and 1 for 15 from three over the past three games. Mm-hmm. So this guy, who, by the way, he follows me. So thanks. Z is what his, it's all it says is Z. He's a Heat fan. It says he's been rested, played four games before the All-Star break. Now he has another four, has nothing to do with rest. Okay. So I said, do you mean that he rested during the All-Star break? Because the games he missed before the break weren't rest. He had a sprained ankle. Sometimes a 34-year-old just needs a night off. And he responded. He literally said that he didn't really need the All-Star break because he was resting the 3 weeks he was out. Obviously, he still got the All-Star break. Sadly, it looks like the result of injuries. And I said, right. So he rested while he was injured. He came back. He played solid. Now he doesn't look right, potentially because of injuries. The remedy for that would certainly be rest, no? And he said, honestly, he's only played one good game versus Utah and the second half versus Chicago. Maybe you're absolutely right, but he looked like this since coming back from the injury. And then I said,
Z started backing down.
Oh, yeah. No, I Twittered him. I said, Chicago and Utah were particularly strong games, but he scored double figures in 7 straight games when he came back from the injury. Some were more efficient than others, but the past 3 games, including tonight, he's just been especially bad. He's too important down the stretch for an offense that already looks rough. If injuries are still impacting him, Miami's playing good enough for him to take some time off to get right. And then he goes, He's literally the only player I trust as a playmaker in the playoffs outside Jimmy. As you say, he's too important to be forced in a back-to-back if he's really tired. So it all came full circle. I Twittered the fuck out of that guy.
Yeah, Z was probably questioning a lot of things about himself after that exchange, because it's rare for somebody to do a 180 on Twitter like that. But yeah, the point, I mean, Goran Dragic was so goddamn important to like their run last year. Like,
exactly.
And, yeah, like he,
and it's
he
not is unheard of for a 34-year-old to just take some nights off, dude. Mm-hmm. This is a very bad stretch. He's had inefficient stretches, but not like this. He looks horrible out there, and he does look slow. His shots look short. Like, just bench the guy. We're coming off six in a row. It's back to back. He just doesn't look good. But none of the guards look good. Kendrick Nunn was awful in this game. Tyler Hero was pretty bad. He hit a couple shots in the end, but really was not very good. Duncan Robinson's three of, like, this whole offense is just not good. It's not good, and it's alarming. And I can't put my finger on it when I watch them, because other than the fact that they insist on living and dying by the three, and they are dying. They are one of the worst 3-point shooting teams by percentage in the NBA this year, and they still take a ton of threes every game. And it gets to the point where it's like, how long can you go being like, well, eventually the threes will fall because we're a good 3-point shooting team. Maybe you're not as good of a 3-point shooting team as you think. And you got to start getting into the mid range, playing more pick and roll, forcing paint touches, just like doing more things outside of forcing these 3-point shots. 11 threes from Duncan Robinson when he's 3 for 11. Right. Seems unnecessary.
Like, the secret's out on Duncan. Like, Duncan Robinson is still like as good of a shooter as there is in the league, top five at the least, but like, he's not, I mean, he's on everyone's radar, you know?
Yep.
So it makes sense. They lost Jay Crowder. Like, they aren't the same. Like, the 3-pointer is, it makes sense that it's not as effective this year, but.
Right. And hopefully you would have this Trevor Ariza trade for Miami's sake. If he shoots the ball at, like, say a high 30s clip, and then they're not starting three, because for some reason Kelly Olynyk is shooting really bad from three when he's at the four, but when he's at the five, he's shooting the ball great. So
yeah,
they get a non-shooter, out of a guy who's not really stretching the floor out of the lineup. They're not shooting a bunch of non-shooters. And then when Kelly comes in at the five, it makes them super versatile. I don't know. The offense looks bad. They need a shot in the arm. We've been saying it for a while though, mm-hmm. for this offense. They just happen to be playing some of the best defense we've seen in a long time, because Memphis only scored 89 points in this game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, that's a straight up 90s game.
I know.
89, 85.
Nobody on Memphis even scored over 15 points.
I know. That's crazy. Jimmy Butler's still playing incredible, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's just that everyone else is playing bad right now, offensively.
Yeah, normally these types of losses, we're always pinning it on Jimmy Butler not being aggressive enough, but he's plenty aggressive tonight.
Yep. All right. The other team, so that's three of the top four teams in the East. The top team is the Nets. Well, the top team is Philly, but the Nets are the Nets. No Kevin Durant still. Kyrie Irving didn't play. They're playing the Pacers, who looked like they maybe were getting it together. Caris LeVert's playing now. They're getting healthy. And Brooklyn just doesn't lose basketball games.
Put up
James Harden, 40, 15, and 10. And I hate to say it, but maybe people are right. Maybe he is going to be in the MVP conversation.
I guess
the longer KD stays out,
it depends how many total games KD misses, but his numbers are like a joke. He's like, how many triple doubles has he had since joining the Nets? Like, most of his games, I feel like, have been a triple double.
It's crazy. Yeah. No, he's had a lot. And it's just like, they continue to win these games, these regular season games. And, you know, there's a legitimate shot that they could finish with the best record in the league also. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, he's holding it down for them, and that's more than you. So it just depends on where the moving target is this year for what the criteria is for MVP.
Yeah,
because yes, right now he's the most important, the most valuable player of that team because he's playing. but he's also not. There's three valuable players. You know what right. I mean?
And he's just not like anybody voting for MVP should know that he's not the best player on his own team. And I like, again, that's not like a certified criteria, but he just wouldn't get my vote for that reason.
Yeah, but they don't lose right now. They're just not losing basketball games. And the Pacers actually, they played pretty well. Just the Nets are so, and this roster is not good. They're just playing at such with such confidence right now. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mean that roster is not good. I just mean like without Kyrie and KD.
Yeah, it doesn't.
James look Harden. Like it looks like James Harden's playing with the Rockets again.
Right.
You know, but they're playing in the East, and you know, I mean, he's with D'Antoni essentially.
Yeah,
D'Antoni.
Joe
on
Harris
bench.
Has been sick. Joe Harris has been.
Yeah, Joe Harris is very good, but look at the rest of that team.
Yeah, it's underwhelming.
Three guys on the NBA.com box score that don't have headshots. What? There must be something wrong with their headshots.
Yeah, I was
why did Joe Harris not have a headshot?
Yeah, that seems like a technical issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And that so that was, I guess, those are the top four in the East, but there's a lot of action. The Eastern Conference it was a weird night for the East. Boston loses to Cleveland. Terrible loss for them.
This is a horrible loss.
But also sort of just highlights what we've been talking about with this team all year, which is if one of their top four players doesn't play, they're not a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a competitive top half team. And Kemba didn't play. And even though Kemba is not what Kemba used to be, they have so much invested in these top four guys and towards their success that one guy doesn't play, they got beat down by the Cavs. And they only lost by seven, but that's not indicative of the score. They were getting beat up in this game.
And the Cavs are just awful. We know that. And the Celtics, to me, it's always about this front court. It's just terrible. They get 5 points from their starting front court. Robert Williams, I mean, he had a decent game. But he came off the bench for them. I think they just need to make that switch. Like Robert Williams should be starting for them, in my opinion. He's getting starter minutes, but Semi Ojeleye and Daniel Tice, it's just so bad considering the star power you have on the team. I just can't believe it's gotten this bad for Danny Ainge.
Yeah, and I went back. I was looking. If this team gets knocked out early, there's a lot of people that are blaming this on Brad Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Which is absurd to me. And I don't know if Danny Ainge is on the hot seat or what the thought process is in Boston. I think we've brought this up a few times. Like they're only 2 years removed from going to back-to-back Eastern Conference finals. Jaylen Brown was on both of those teams. Jason Tatum was on one. But if you look at those playoff runs, Terry Rozier, Al Horford, Marcus Morris, Kelly Olynyk, and Jay Crowder were on those teams. Jay Crowder and Kelly Olynyk were on the first one. Terry Rozier, Al Horford, and Marcus Morris were on the next one. If you had those guys on this team right now, this team would be a favorite in the East, no question.
Yeah. Yeah, he's hit home runs with these two draft picks in Tatum and Brown, and then hasn't done like –
everything else has been sort of
failure. Pretty bad, yeah. And Marcus Smart, he drafted Marcus Smart as well, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We drafted most of the guys on this team.
I just mean
he drafted Ojeleye, Peyton Pritchard, Robert Williams, Grant Williams, Carson Edwards. Like, all those guys are draft picks. But that's the problem. We've noted on the you can't win solely building through the draft. You have to hit on probably three of the three, which is trades and free agency. Their trades, I love Kemba, but doesn't seem like the Kemba thing is working out that well right now. And the Kyrie thing didn't work out. And their free agent pickups this year were Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague, mm-hmm. who we were excited about, but obviously has not worked out very well.
Right. Well, they let Al Horford and Gordon Hayward walk or couldn't pay them essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, yeah, no, they traded Al Horford, didn't they?
Yeah, I guess Al Horford was a trade, but it had to do with his contract, I believe. Yeah. I forget, but
Boston has lost two in a row now. They're 20-20. They're in the 7 seed. I'm not ready to say that they are not a lock to make the playoffs, but they're teetering. They're teetering because, again, the Pacers and the Bulls are pretty good teams. Like, mm-hmm. those teams could make runs. And the Hawks are playing great. Like, Boston, everything in my mind and heart tells me this is a play, this team will be in the playoffs. But they're sort of teetering where other teams in the East are getting better, even though tonight was not indicative of that. Boston doesn't seem to be getting better. The Pacers, the Bulls, the Hawks, the Hornets, the Heat, and the Knicks, even to a little bit of an extent, all seem to be trending up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and Boston is. And
Boston not. Seems to be trending way down, and especially when even one guy sits, which is that's a bad way to be.
Yeah, I mean, this is. I think this is probably the most important team to, well, one of the most important teams to keep a look at on the trade deadline, because they just have to do something that changes like a big pillar of this team. Like, they need to look different after this trade deadline, in my opinion, to feel good about where this is going. Because right now it's just, it's Tatum and Brown and Smart and then a bunch of just.
Oh my goodness. Breaking news on the NBA Top Shot Discord.
Whoa.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday, March 18th, 12 p.m. Pacific. Rare all-star game packs. Seven moments. $229 a pack.
God damn it. I guarantee you I win the
lottery. Hold on. Only available for purchase to accounts that already have started their collection and own at least three moments.
Wow.
At the time of the drop.
Wow. Okay. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. I just don't know if I can spend $229 on video clips at the moment, but
yeah, but you're almost guaranteed to get one that you could turn around for that much money if you want.
Then you got to wait like a month to get your money out. I'm going to do it. I mean, what am I talking? I'm going to absolutely buy this thing, but
yeah,
now I can't wait until 3 p.m.
I mean, I sold one the other day for 70. I can probably sell this Booker for 50 or 60. That'll get me halfway there, just like that. I got my stimulus coming.
Tax returns, right?
Tax return. Get paid on Friday. I mean, it's just, you know, maybe I'll lower my Kyrie price.
Might have to get that thing sold.
Sell that Kyrie.
Especially because that card is like seeing stars and this is an actual all-star card. Like, you'd rather have that.
Yeah, I could sell that Kyrie for 200 and then I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what I'm going to go on the marketplace after this.
Yeah, I see the wheels are spinning here.
That actually probably is a better move.
Mm-hmm. As long as the marketplace is open.
Well, but then what if I sell the Kyrie and I don't get a pack? Then I just sold it for less than I wanted to sell it for.
Right.
This is really
the clamps of a free.
Well, actually, no. Right, here's what I'll do. No, what I do is I get the pack and then sell the Kyrie to get the money back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can do that. It's just to get the actual like liquid cash is going to take a while, is the problem.
Oh, man. But how could you not get it at this point? We're so deep in the top shot game. It's derailed our entire episode. We still have so many games to get through, but that is breaking news. That just got put in the Discord at 5 minutes ago.
Wow. Wonder, did we beat LG on this? Probably not.
No, there's no way. Although I haven't seen a tweet about it, but the first mint tweeted about it 17 minutes ago. Yeah. 36,000 packs also, by the way.
Oh, I'm getting one. I'm going to need one.
36,000 packs and you have to own three moments? That's interesting. Huh. I mean, I might have to take out a loan tomorrow.
For me, I'll give you a good rate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to this.
Celtics are in trouble. I will wrap up that. Celtics are in trouble.
Celtics, I'm not ready to say they're in trouble, but they're teetering.
And they're teetering on being in trouble.
There's 32 games left in the season. They've played 40 games. They are teetering on trouble. Who else? Charlotte got absolutely lumberjacked tonight.
I see that. Yeah. By the Nuggets. We're getting the hot. Nuggets are hot.
You know who's hot? Like smoking, like sexy right now. Michael Porter Jr. is
MPJ
balling.
Yeah,
I think this might be his fifth or sixth game in a row scoring 20 points. Fifth game in a row scoring 20 points. He's averaging in the month of March. He's averaging 19.
And that's exactly what they need. Like, this was the next step for them. We've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, it's huge. It is a huge thing for them. Christ,
man, you know you're getting smoked if you're Charlotte when Bol Bol's getting 5 minutes against you. I mean, that's...
Well, so the big news really with that... So Denver wins 129-104, right? Trying to pull it back up. 129-104. Like I said, Michael Porter Jr. has just... seems to be potentially taking the next step for them. Like you said, that is a scary proposition for the Western Conference if he becomes this guy. Because if he's a 25 point a game scorer for this team and Jamal Murray can become more of the up and down that he is, and obviously Jokic doing what he does, that is a scary three right there. Plus everyone else starting to get healthy.
Yeah, their bench is okay. It's okay. It's not like they have any major holes there.
Yeah.
This is a team to watch for sure.
Yeah. But the story, Alex, here is there was a report from Chris Sheridan today that the Nuggets and the Magic are discussing a deal potentially for Aaron Gordon that would have to include Bol Bol.
Oh, that is the story. Please make that happen.
Free Bol Bol.
Yeah.
Bol Bol playing for Steve Clifford. I am all in on that. I actually thought about selling my Kyrie earlier and buying a Bol Bol top shot just on the chance that he gets traded and goes and plays for Steve Clifford.
It's kind of messed up. That's the exact thing that just went through my head, but I think he had like a bunch of moments last year.
He has them on there. The cheapest one on there was like $200. So I was thinking about lowering my Kyrie price and buying this Bol Bol. Now, obviously, I need that money for the pack.
God, I want that to happen. And the Nuggets. I mean, Paul Millsap, he's old, So Aaron Gordon slides in there perfectly. And then Paul Millsap can be this bench role guy. God, that would be a good trade.
I don't love Aaron Gordon. I mean, I guess he's good for that. He's better for them right now, but that could be one of those trades that we look back at 5 years from now. We're like, what were they thinking?
You think so? Why? Because of Gordon's contract or?
No, because Bol Bol.
Bol Bol. I'm tripping. Yeah.
I mean, Bol Bol, we might be higher on him than most other shows out there, but he has the potential to be what Porzingis was before he got hurt and maybe more, I think.
Yeah. So I hope the Bull Bulls episode is still somewhere on the internet. Go listen to that if you're listening to this and you haven't heard it. So we were all about Bull Bull in the offseason.
We're still all about Bull Bull.
Yeah.
Love that guy. All right. What else? What else? Toronto. Man. So Toronto lost to Norm Powell had 43 points tonight for Toronto, and they lost to Detroit 116-112. They've lost six in a row now. And there seems to be a direct correlation with Norm Powell becoming their best player and them losing, because they were completely healthy in this game. OG Anunoby is the only one who sat. They had everyone back. Powell over the last seven games is averaging 30 a game, and and they've lost six in a row.
Well, that's, I mean, the reason they've lost that many in a row is the COVID shit, right?
But here's it got me thinking, and I looked this up. Fred VanVleet got 4 years, $85 million from this team, and he averaged 17 a game last year and shot 38% from three. Norm Powell is now averaging just about 20 and shooting 45% from three. So he's going to get $100 million from this team. He has a player option.
Yeah. And then this core of super semi above average players is in place for the next 5 years. And then the Raptors can be a 500 team until Siakam retires or something. I don't know.
They have a huge, huge decisions to make here, because they can't keep all these guys. So they either have to trade Norm Powell. You can't pay him when you just paid all these other guys, or they have to trade one of these guys that they just paid if they think now that Norm Powell is the guy. Mm-hmm. But you can't pay him after you just paid all these other guys. Plus there's Chris Boucher, who's going to get paid. You're going to pay.
Plus you're not winning.
You're going to pay all these guys who are putting up good numbers on a bad team.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry comes off the books after this year, so you save some money there, but it just can't happen. So there might be, I would be surprised if they don't make some type of move here coming to the deadline, because I just don't see how they could keep all these guys and expect to pay all these guys and expect to be a competitive NBA team.
Yeah. Do you think trading Powell makes the most sense then?
He has a very movable contract. He makes like $10 million and he has a player option for next year, but you also have to wonder, what are you going to get? Because any team that trades anything of remote value for Norm Powell, they better be ready to give him $80 million in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to say that he's a $20 million a year guy? I don't know. He's averaging 19 a game, but they're not a playoff team. So what does that mean? But he is shooting 45% from three. So maybe he is. Is he better than Fred VanVleet? I don't know.
Well, both guys are excellent, excellent bench player, like excellent six men type guy. And those, I'm not really pumped to pay those type of players $20 million a year. So
Norm Powell is more physically natural at the two guard, even though he's not huge. He's like 6'3". I think VanVleet's listed something like 6'1", 6'2". I think he's like 5'11".
Yeah, if that.
But so, yeah, I don't know, man. But Powell, it's not necessarily his fault that they're losing. You're right. He's playing great basketball. He's going to get a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He get a lot of money. Norm Powell, let me tell you this. Norm Powell has a chance to make $100 million.
Crazy. Yeah.
Do you ever think you'd hear those words?
No. Well, I mean, with this new influx of revenue the NBA is getting from Top Shots, I mean, who knows what the salary cap's going to do?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Anybody
can make $100 million, dude.
That's true. All right. Sacramento. Was there anything
else? Sadiq Bey had 28 points, and Pistons are loading up on young wings. That's kind of cool.
It is interesting. I was thinking about this, looking at their roster earlier, is now they have Killian Hayes when he comes back from the injury. Sadiq Bey has looked really good. Jeremy Grant is having a great year. Hamadou Diallo, Isaiah Stewart. And for all the shit we gave whoever their Troy Weaver, mm-hmm. they do have a lot of young, solid players. Just they got eventually, and they're so bad that they could get the first pick. So maybe they'll draft,
that really, like, this pick for them is so, it might be like their most, like one of the most important assets in the whole league, like in terms of the, like, they must nail this pick. Because I feel like next year they're going to be, you know, not a good team, but like not a first overall pick type team.
Being a draft analyst is like the best job in the world.
Yeah. Cause you
can't be wrong. Like,
no one's ever, unless you're like a maniac, no one's ever like digging back and looking at all the things you said wrong.
For example, and this is not even me dogging this guy, because actually he's one of the better draft analysts there are, but Sam Vecenie, he tweeted out the other day, like his top five or top four at the moment for this year's draft. And he's like, I feel bad putting any of these guys fourth because they're all so good. Any of them could go one. That's sort of a cop out, right? And then last year, everyone was talking about how bad that draft was, but Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and James Wiseman all look pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
So all those draft analysts were wrong, because it looks like there's potentially multiple franchise players from that. And now they're all saying that this next draft is going to be one of the best drafts we've seen, like all that there's four guys who could be number one. It's bound to be that at least one of those guys is not good next year.
Yeah. Almost.
But then as a draft analyst, you could just say, well, they're all great. And then when one of them's not great, you're like, yeah, but I said this guy was great. It's like, mm-hmm. And you can't ever be also wrong. You
could always point to, well, he went to the wrong circumstance. You know, if he didn't have, right. Like, it's like, yeah, it is such a cushy job. Cause I mean, it's a gimmick. It's like a gimmick type job. Nobody actually knows. Like,
it's like that and being a fantasy analyst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like fantasy analysts, I've noticed, like they obviously study the numbers and they study trends, but they're also in like 30 leagues each.
Right. So they're
so
right.
They could be like, yeah. I won nine leagues this year. Right. Yeah. You were in 52.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, those jobs. Good for those guys though. You know, they got in, all those guys got in when it mattered, and mm-hmm. making a lot of money just being wrong 96% of the time.
It's nobody cushy. Remembering.
Right. Exactly. The 24-hour news cycle. Just
being always wrong. Something new to be wrong about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Bulls lost to San Antonio. And the Bulls also in this game were up by 23. So they blew that one.
They blew that badly. They lost the fourth quarter 39-19. Not good.
Jakob Poeltl with 20 and 16.
Hmm.
Hey, I'll take it. Yeah, it's weird what's going on with the Bulls, because they're good. They're up and down. And then you know that Billy Donovan put Thaddeus Young and Satoransky in the starting lineup and benched Coby White and Wendell Carter, brought them off the bench. It hasn't really worked. Do they go back to those guys? Like,
I think they're
pretty up and down, but again, they're young. They're probably team. A little ahead of schedule.
Definitely.
What else? Christian Wood came back tonight, which is awesome. Go?
Yeah.
Awesome for Houston. He had 21-9, but they lost their 17th game in a row to the Warriors. Tough game to have to come back to.
I think it's 18. Hold on. Just first. Yeah, it's 18 according to ESPN.
They've lost 18 in a row. But also, when Christian Wood was playing and they were winning games, John Wall was playing, Eric Gordon was playing,
mm-hmm.
other guys, PJ Tucker was playing. He comes back to a starting lineup of Kevin Porter, Sterling Brown, Jayshon Tate, and Daniel House. So he could play. He's going to put up numbers. This team is not going to win games.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Kevin Porter Jr. with another good game. That's a little bit of a revelation. So that's fun if you're Houston. But I just can't. I can't imagine. 18 in a row is brutal. And I mean, that's like, and to also not have the worst record is blowing my mind. But
yeah, well, the best part of the Kevin Porter Jr. thing right now is that they still haven't really adjusted his value on FanDuel. So he's still like a $6,000 player.
Okay.
So he's like a must play until they adjust him up to where his value actually is right now.
Right.
Good win for the Warriors. And like, no one really, it's just like one of those things where Houston's so bad. No one on this team really went off. It was just like an
all-around. You saw Steph got hurt, had to leave the game. He had a tailbone bruise. Hopefully that's not an extended thing, but it was ugly. Yeah.
It must have been right at the end. It must have been in the second half late because he played 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was weird. He like took a three and then was like kind of backpedaling and just expecting to kind of run into someone on the bench to break his fall. And there was no chair or anything there. And he just fell really hard on his ass and had to leave the game.
Yep, I missed that. Well, it's just tough for the Rockets. I feel like we're doing this every time they play, but it's true. It just sucks. And then the last game, well, Washington lost to Sacramento. I can't talk about Sacramento games.
No, we really have to say is like my bold prediction is couldn't be going any worse. I said the Wizards were going to catch somebody in the standings, but the Wizards haven't won a game since they came back from the break, so that's not good.
Yeah. And then the last game was Luka's thick ass getting it done. They beat the Clippers. These Clippers,
they were visibly sleepwalking in this game. Paul George had a great game, and then everyone else is just kind of walking around.
Luka loves playing the Clippers, huh?
Yeah.
42 in this one. Mm-hmm. They end up winning 105-89, but yeah, but that's the Clippers MO. We talk about it all the time. Constantly talk about it. Constantly. Win a game, look like shit in the next game.
Dallas, that's why this team's not good. 89 points against this Dallas D is really bad.
And this is probably the best game, at least efficiency-wise, that Luka's had in a while.
Mm-hmm. No, he was fantastic tonight. He was really excellent.
You would think, like, this is again, another one of the things with the Clippers, like, you would think this is where I question Kawhi, where I continue to question Kawhi as a leader, because in Toronto, he had all those vets, Lowry, Gasol, Serge. San Antonio, obviously had all these other guys. Luka, ball, this kid is fat. He's young. He's a little bit cocky.
He's got everything.
And he just lights your ass up every time he plays you. You're supposed to be the best defensive wing in the league. There's no pride. Like, is there nothing in that robotic mind of his that's like, all right, tonight I need to lock this guy down? Like, he embarrasses this team.
Yeah. Almost fully embarrassed them last year, right? They almost beat this team in the first round, or no? Am I remembering?
They won two games. Okay. But he was injured. Like, Porzingis was injured. Yeah, he hurt his ankle. Mm-hmm. They were shorthanded. It should have been a sweep.
Yeah.
But he played incredible, other than when he was like really hurt. But yeah, it's just, I would think at some point Kawhi would take the challenge and be like, okay, not tonight. You're not going to beat the shit out of us.
Right.
But it seems like every time Luka plays them, he just balls out, which is that's more than him being great, because we know he can have these great games. It's, again, it's just another concerning thing with the Clippers, where it's like, this team doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. I'll tell you what. If I had to bet on it right now, I would bet that Kawhi Leonard opts out and leaves the Clippers after this.
I think so too. I really do. I think he's rubbed the wrong way about the Doc Rivers firing, and this team has a bunch of busters on it. They've got a bunch of busters.
Yeah, they do have a bunch of busters. Did you see what he said the other day?
Kawhi, no.
He said we need to have more urgency, like more of a more attention to detail. He said we have to have some more of something. Mm-hmm. He's like, the great teams have this. I forgot I think it was either attention to detail or urgency, whatever he said. It was one of those things where it was like, well, that's not consistency. So we need to have more consistency. Great teams have consistency. That doesn't sound like a good thing.
No, but we've also pinpointed that. Yeah, like this team thinks they can flip the switch in the playoffs. I don't think they can.
Yeah, but that just sounds like the talk of a guy who,
yes,
like, get me if they here. Don't go to the finals, is gone. That would shake up some things. What if you went to the Lakers?
The Knicks, dude. That's the one that is. If he went to the Knicks, that'd be electric.
Yeah, but that's the one place where obviously it would be electric, but like, he's the one guy that I'm just like, could he play for Thibodeau?
Right. That would be a concern.
The minutes and the sitting games, and like, that's just not Thibodeau's style. But I mean, I'm sure they would accept it to get a guy like that in New York, but that's the one guy in the NBA right now that I'm like, man, they feels like they would clash eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, I think low key Kawhi is so cognizant of his like legacy, and like, he could turn the Knicks around. I mean, that is legacy type shit right there.
But just, well, remember though, just remember that after they lost in the playoffs last year, and still to this point, no one's really talking about, I've been talking about this since they lost, that his legacy is taking major, major, major hits. Uh-huh. And that I said it after the playoffs.
Yep.
When they lost. But now if it goes bad this year, we have to, I still contend, you got to kind of have to rethink everything we thought before about Kawhi.
Mm-hmm. Even with the two back.
Yeah, well, even with the two finals MVPs, that's great. But again, Andre Iguodala has a finals MVP. Like, finals MVPs are important, but when you play, when you play on a great team, changes. He's going to have to prove that he's that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I don't think maybe ever in the history of basketball, I don't know if anyone's legacy took as big a step forward as Kawhi's did beating that Warriors team. I know Durant was out and everything, but like, he went from,
and
like,
so is Clay.
He went from like great player, unbelievable player, to wait, are we looking at an all-time player here, you know, in the matter of one postseason. And so now, like, you know, maybe it was an overcorrection, you know, and his legacy went so high. And now we're scaling it back and seeing what he really is, which is an unbelievably good player, but maybe not an all-time great.
And clearly either he's a terrible leader, or he has no desire to be a leader. Which would make him a bad leader. But like, I don't think it's, I don't even know if he tries to be a leader, which is a problem when you're the best player.
I just like, to be a leader, you have to have some level of like interpersonal skills. And he just doesn't, like, I know that's maybe
the, like, other, did you see the other comment was like, after they won their game, like last week, Charles Barkley asked him if he saw differences between Doc Rivers and Ty Lue. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, they're different people.
Different names, different faces. Is like, yeah, his social skills are so strange. So maybe he's just not, he'll never be a good leader. Yeah. But then if you're Paul George, or you're some, like, you know, like, somebody else has to step up,
I guess. But
because, like, you made the great point, like Kyle Lowry was the leader of that team. He didn't need to be this elite leader. Tim Duncan, Manu, Tony Parker, those are the leaders. So maybe the best recipe is on a team with like an absolute, you know, like a guy like Kyle Lowry, a guy that the whole team will always follow. And then you're just this
Miami.
Oh yeah. That would be sick. Although what about Julius Randle? I mean, you know,
you want to talk about a guy who would gladly take the heat off of Kawhi, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just being on everyone's ass at all times. Yeah. That's a good point. Really good point.
There's not a lot of places where that player exists where he would immediately fit. Like, obviously the Lakers, but I don't know that there's not a lot of guys in the NBA where their personality and their ability is big enough to sort of take that away from Kawhi.
Yeah. And that's one in Miami for sure.
So, well, we'll see. But I would, if I had to peg it right now, I'd say, if I had to peg it,
you
I'd say
peg it.
I'd say 50-50 right now.
To go to Miami
leaves.
Or
no, that he out. Leaves. That
yeah,
he leaves.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Yeah. All right, that's it for tonight and for the games. Got to unfortunately end on a sad note, because there was a story that came out today. Sean Bradley, who was, I believe, the number one pick, like in 91, 3, 5, in the early 90s. He was in a car accident 2 months ago and he's paralyzed now.
Gosh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I don't think it was like publicly released. The Mavericks released a statement that it had that about it.
To, oh my gosh, think it was a car hit his bike. Is that what you said? Sorry, I didn't.
There's a bike. Yeah. But, you know, you didn't hear much about him after he retired. He was actually, you know, because he was the first pick overall back in the day, he was considered kind of a bust.
He was the second pick.
Second pick. He was considered kind of a bust, but he was the first really, you know, Manute Bol was around, but Sean Bradley was one of those early, was one of the first guys that he was 7'7". You're like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
There's humans that big.
Like, that can move up and down a court.
Yeah. And he was one of the league leaders in blocks every year, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
So that is unfortunate. I can't even imagine, although I obviously can't imagine being paralyzed, but being 7'7", just like the logistics of life now for him, mm-hmm. his family, like he's such a massive person. Now he's going to need help. It's just so sad.
Yeah, right?
Like I feel obviously awful for him, but then his family, think about it. They're going to have to, there's people are going to be having to constantly take care of a 7'7" person who can't move.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a tragic thing. Not that one person being paralyzed is more tragic than another, but 7'7", he's so big.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, man. That's so cool. Yeah. Thoughts obviously to him, his family, anybody who's close to him, anybody who's helping him. It's just a crazy story. It sucks. Sean Bradley was such a big part, like just a big presence in the NBA in the 90s.
Yeah.
Even when he wasn't that great.
Yeah. I mean, I know like, half these guys you referenced that got their start in the early 90s. I'm not really too up on, right. But I know, of course I know who Sean Bradley is.
Yeah. So obviously sending positivity and thoughts to him and his family. So, all right. We will be back tomorrow for a fry deuce. And
usually we'll our best deuces, I would say. Yeah. Typically.
And Alex's last deuce for a week. So he's going to have to really bring it.
Okay. Yep.
And maybe we'll have some more trades tomorrow. I don't know. It's trade season. SZN.
Maybe we could do a pack opening on the show. That would be kind of electric.
Here's the problem with that. The drop is at 12 Pacific, which is 3 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
If I get one, it's going to be real hard to sit there on that thing and not
open it. You're right. Yeah. We can talk about it, but yeah, I'm not.
Oh, we'll definitely talk about it. I mean, you make a good point about not being able to justify spending $229 on a pack. So there is a good chance that if I do get one and it get something really good, I'm immediately going to sell it, which is probably the bad game plan. You probably want to hold on to it and let it raise in value, but I would probably sell it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. So I think it's time to go because your camera just got real blurry. So
Oh yeah.
All right. We will see you guys tomorrow. Later.